Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things as we get you through this Thursday afternoon. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam, Cody.
Doing pretty well, John. It's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere. I hope you are doing okay today. It's a good day. It's a good day. Thursday, which I've always referred to as Friday Eve. Good day for me. Nice day today. How are you doing today?
It's a good day to have a good day.
It's always a good day for a good day.
I got roasted by a couple people on the internet for my 2K player sucking it up. I'd like to check the ratings that Billy gave us, because my guy scored 0 points and only grabbed 2 rebounds. Like,
ooh, tough.
Do I want to be the go-to scorer? No, but like, I guarantee you put me on the floor, I'm going to get more than 2 rebounds. Like, especially if I'm not having to score. Like, every now and then I'll play games where like I'm playing with people and they're like, yeah, well, you go out there and score, which that's very few and far between these days, but I always are out there rebounding.
Yeah, that's a tough look, man.
Like, if I got somebody scoring all the points and I'm not even having to worry about that, like, those games, I'll grab 7, 8, 9 rebounds. Like, I'm out there boxing out. That's what I do. I'm an effort guy. So I'm right. The 0 points, that doesn't bother me. Some would even say that's realistic. The 2 rebounds, though, I got a problem with that.
That's tough. I don't know really what's going on with that, so I didn't.
Well, I'm getting roasted over it. Why? Because my 2K player isn't good enough.
That's not your fault, though. I mean, it's not my fault, Billy made your player.
He's got my name, though.
You think Billy just made you a bad player?
I don't think Billy would do that, although I noticed Billy was scoring a bunch of points. I noticed Billy's guy was balling.
He probably
shooting
made
a lot of shots,
guy,
too.
Probably made his guy really good, like 99 overall.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. There's something about Billy and the way he does his ratings. Whenever he did the Tennessee basketball ratings, he seemed to have souped up his boy Vescovi, too, because Vescovi was the highest-rated player on the team, and I was just like, that doesn't seem accurate. Vescovi's not the best player on Tennessee's basketball team.
Hmm. Yeah,
so there's something weird going on with these ratings.
That's why I didn't want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Because I knew that if I signed up for that, that he wouldn't start me. And sorry, but I don't want to come off the bench in your virtual league. If I'm not a starter, I don't want to play. And I knew he wouldn't start me out of spite, because he's mad at me over other things.
I don't think it's out of spite.
Mm-hmm. Completely out of spite. Because if we're just talking best athletes, obviously I'd be starting.
I don't know if that's accurate, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. At this place? You kidding me?
Define athlete. What are we talking about here?
This place is full...
You think you're one of the 5 most athletic people here?
Yeah, when you combine heart and intangibles. I'm not in the best shape. That's not what I'm saying.
I don't think I put you in the top 5 in the heart meter either.
And that's not
a joke about the overweight heart thing. You just don't seem to really be the one that I haven't seen that gritty get up and go, not going to be denied, Cody McClure.
We work with a bunch of nerds, all right? I got a lot of experience as an athlete.
Okay.
Sure, it's been a while.
Here we go.
I'm not saying.
Write it down. It was Thursday at 12:06 before Cody brought up his high school playing days.
I'm not saying I'm in the best shape. But I'm saying I've got that competitive drive that it takes to win in a physical competition. I'm not in the best shape, but it's not always about who's in the best shape. It's about who wants it more.
I've chosen to go to war with you, so I'm not going to diminish what I think about your abilities.
Sometimes it's who wants it more and who's on the most performance-enhancing drugs.
I feel like it's a contradiction, though. I feel like the guy who tells everybody he has the heart and drive is also going to be the guy that says, I'm okay with coming off the bench. It's what's best for the team.
Nah.
Right? Am I wrong in that?
No.
I feel like the ultimate heart, want to win, got the determination guy. He's okay with being coming off the bench and making his impact in the later parts of the game.
It's about who made it. It's about the whole idea of it.
Okay.
It's why I would be coming off the bench is why I would have a problem.
Okay.
Because I know how Billy does these things. Billy's mad at me because I didn't respond to his thing.
I saw you try to lie yesterday online and talk about emails as if you had not known it was a Twitter DM. I saw you try to lie there, but I wasn't going to say anything. I just left it alone.
Well, I didn't want to just reply and be like, hey, man, I saw it. I just wasn't interested. Like, that's a mean thing to say, right? You wouldn't say that. So you can't be completely honest.
Sure.
I saw the DM, but I was like, oh, I don't care anything about this.
Okay.
I mean, I can't say that. Even though that's what was in my heart. Thank you for taking the time to do this, but I have zero interest in it, and I'm not even going to reply.
Well, I'm mad about it now. Like, I, you know, whatever. They got their thing on 3 and Out. People seem to enjoy it.
They do their thing.
It's filling content. I'm with it. But, you know, I have a problem with my guy not having enough heart to grab 2 rebounds. I'll say that.
I don't think they should expect the other shows to fill in their – they got 8 people on their show. They only have four. They can do their own little.
We had 4 for a while. Like, I feel like they the shots got, at the other shows for the number of people. Like, we've had 4 before. Now, they have 4.
Yeah, but we also did just a 2-man show for a long time.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
Me and you?
Yeah.
I didn't produce that long.
Now we got Cam, and Cam's a real asset, so I consider
it a
3.
Was that just a random shot at Ben Lee, or?
Well,
was that a random shot at Jules? Because we still had Cam and Julia doing stuff too. Like,
yeah, but Cam feels like to me more part of the show than they did.
So it was just random shots at Jules.
Well, it wasn't shots. It's just that they didn't feel like a big part of the show.
Ben talked all the time.
Ben just bitched and complained.
Ben was an asset of the show. I'm not going to.
Ben bitched and whined.
Julia had her own segment.
Julia just didn't talk a lot.
She talked.
Not a lot.
They talked more than Cam does.
Cam's got personality.
Cam does have personality. They had personality too, though. I would say if you took words spoken in the show, Ben Lee would be by far number one.
Because he asserted himself into situations he didn't need to be in.
That's a whole different argument, but you're saying it was a 2-man show. I'm saying he was a definite 3rd man of the show to the point where we had to be like, hey, dial it back a little bit. Like he wanted to be the 3rd man, so that's not me criticizing Ben. I love Ben. I'm just saying you're critique just seems far, far off.
No, we never had a problem. We didn't need Ben Lee.
Wow.
Is what I'm saying.
Wow.
We didn't.
Ben was an asset.
Do you not remember all the days that we did shows without Ben?
Do I think we need him? No. Do I think we need Cam? No. Like, yes. I like having them here.
Cam's completely different to me. I feel like Cam,
what you're seeing here is what Cody's going to say about you when you leave.
That's not true. That's not true at all.
Look.
Ben always
said
he could.
If it comes down to it, I don't need anybody. I did a show by myself. Like, if we're just getting down to what we need, but I want you, obviously. I want Cam here. You guys make the show better. Well, I'm just simply saying I did a show simply by myself.
Yeah, but nobody wants to hear that.
Well, I know, but I'm saying I did it. I had some listeners. It was fine. The content was okay.
I did it too once, but it sucked.
I did it for like 2 months. It was bad. I did that one. I've done a couple of voluntary actions that way. I'm just simply saying, if you're getting down to, like, need, necessary, like, that's one thing. But, again, I think if you just took words spoken per show, Cam would be probably 3rd.
Behind Jules?
I think so.
No.
Cam, how do you feel?
She never talked. Are you serious?
She talked. Cam, you cut your mic on. Am I wrong?
Cam jumps in.
This is not an insult at Cam, either. Like, I mean, this is not.
I view Cam as way more. Cam comes in on the sports talk.
I feel like Cam talks
more. It used to just be me and you. Now when y'all start talking basketball, I step back and you and Cam just
okay, now that's a fair point. And yeah. I will say that, like, if we're just going, like, word spoken, like, I mean, when Jules was here, Cam did the Marvel movie reviews. I guess that might have been when Ben was here.
And that
too.
Was a lot of words spoken,
but
those were a matter
of. That was when he was number 4, so, I mean, like, his words per show might have actually gone down since we quit the Marvel movie reviews.
Look, I'm not taking any shots at Jules, but she didn't talk much. She did not talk a whole lot. Cam talks way more than she did. Maybe not as much as Ben Lee, but Ben talked way too much.
No, Cam probably does talk more than Jules.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
Cam definitely talks more than her. But I just
miss you, Jules. Hope you're doing well.
I just didn't understand the you
hey,
saying we,
Jules.
I understand you saying, you know, the two-man show. We haven't really done that ever. Because even when Julia was producing, Cam was sitting here, like, doing things too. I feel like we've always had at least 3 people.
I think we have a totally reputable claim. I think we have a total right to take shots at the other shows for using too many people. The Drive had 5 at one time.
No, yeah, I mean, that was a little ridiculous. That was a little ridiculous.
I mean, they got a whole room full of people.
That was a little ridiculous. I'm never up early enough to hear three and out. Like, does Billy and Davey have a...
You ask me, like, I'm up.
That's a fair point.
Like, what do you... I don't know.
That's a fair point. Like, I imagine they're both just, like, legit microphone members of the show, like,
yeah,
constantly.
I think they are. Nothing against the show, no, but that, I've
yeah,
only heard it, like, twice.
I just...
Because I'm never awake.
Yeah.
I've always said that.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just saying, every other show's got to have at least a fourth.
I was going to put out a call for a fourth. UT emailed me saying they have people that need internships. I was going to try to get a fourth, but now I feel like I don't know if I can since you just made fun of people.
Well, there's a difference in it being, you know, on-air talent versus some intern.
Yeah.
I think this room's got a lot of talent in it.
This room does have a lot of talent, and I hope Cam didn't take any offense to me saying he doesn't talk a lot. Like, I
wish Cam would talk more.
Cam fills in whenever he needs to fill in, like you said, in the basketball segments. His segments.
I think Cam.
I was just simply saying I thought Ben Lee talked a lot, and I thought – I guess Julia probably didn't talk as much as I just said she did. So I will retract that. Cam, you talk – you got more words per show than her.
I think the difference is I think Cam could sit in my chair and co-host.
Well, we've done that
before. On the sports part.
Yeah, we've done that before.
Yeah, but when Ben did it –
again, more shots at
Ben. I'm not
Lee.
Taking shots at
the guy's
Ben.
Guys is probably enjoying his day, missing his friends.
I'm not taking shots at Ben. I'm just saying it kind of sucked. I'm saying that when Ben had to fill in for me, it kind of sucked. That's all I'm saying. He always said he could do what I do.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
It's just a personal beef between you two.
It's not a beef. It's not personal.
Now I see why Billy didn't. I see why Billy has a vendetta and why he was bringing you off the bench.
See, that's the thing. Anytime I say something about somebody, everybody gets their feelings hurt. That's the whole thing.
I had to deal with some of that yesterday. Feelings getting hurt, so I feel you. Yeah. I feel you there.
Yeah. Yeah, you did, didn't you?
I mean, I don't know if I will say that. I don't think this would be one that would I would say, oh, wow, what a snowflake for getting – hurt at some of the things you've said this to start the segment, the show.
What do you mean?
I think I would say they are justified.
Who's hurt?
I'm saying if anyone was hurt.
Nobody's hurt. I haven't said anything hurtful.
You just said Ben sucked.
I said, no, I did not.
You now flat out said
Ben
sucked.
You were putting words in my mouth.
You did not just say he sucked.
I said when he filled in for me, it sucked.
That came out afterwards. No, you
said it sucked.
That's a lie.
He sucked at trying to co-host, if that's what you want me to say.
It came out, Ben sucked.
I don't think he sucked.
And then you said dot, dot, dot when he tried to fill in for me. He always said he could fill in for me.
Well, because he always said it, and then he sucked.
So are you saying he sucked or not?
I'm not saying he sucks as a guy. That's not what I'm – I didn't mean
that's
it
sad.
In a – I don't mean it in a mean-spirited way.
That's
not what I'm saying.
I still love
see,
Ben
See, you're
Lee,
trying to
like
spit it all
brother.
Over. I love Ben, too.
Yeah, that's sad.
I actually went and drank with him after he got canned.
Yeah?
Yeah. I love Ben. Me and Ben shared good memories. He was just always very aggressive. He's an aggressive guy. That's who he was. I mean,
well, that's why I'm just so confused by the premise of a two-man show.
But that was part of the. I mean, we could fight, and it was okay. You know,
I really hope he's not listening.
See, now you're doing what you do.
This is two days in a row. I'm scared to check my phone to see if I have any messages.
See, this is what you do. You twist it around.
I'm not twisting anything around.
Make it like I've said some very mean things.
All I was simply saying is that if someone got their feelings hurt over what was said to start the show, I would say that they felt justified. That I would feel they were justified is all I'm simply saying. Oh, wow. Yep, there's a text.
What's it say?
Damn, I tuned in for 2 minutes and Cody is bleeping on me.
That's not what it says.
That's exactly what it says.
I don't believe you.
And then he goes and says whenever it was him and Trey, it was a great show. Whenever they did.
And it's not because of Ben.
Was it optional?
Well,
I mean, it's optional.
Not
they said it was
because
a good
of trade necessarily. I just mean.
Here you go.
See you've backed me into this corner, and I never.
I don't think I backed you into a corner. I think went face first, Blair Witch Project style.
No, I was never trying to say anything mean. It was never anything like that. That's not what it was supposed to be taken as. I was just trying to show that Cam, I think Cam has great value, and that, you know, there were some things that.
This whole thing started by you just wanting to. Hate on other shows, and then eventually it just led to you hating on the people who have given a lot of their time and tender love and care to Talk Sports.
Stop.
As you wear a Talk Sports shirt. Talk Sports with...
You just trying to twist it on.
If I did,
you
that wasn't
wear
my
shirt?
Intention.
You want it?
No.
Where's yours at?
It's
at least I'm repping the brand here.
I've already worn mine twice. That's the first time you've worn yours.
Well, I had to make sure it fit good.
Fit good?
Yeah, I had to feel confident.
Yeah, it looks good on you.
I got to wear it around the house for a bit before I can actually wear it.
I don't think I did any twisting here, by the way. I don't think that was... this feels like episode 6 or 7 of Tiger King, where did they set Joe up, or was he just kind of doing what Joe always does and Jeff just let him go? That was the debate, right? Like, Jeff's like, I didn't set him up. I just put a camera on him and he did the things he always does. Is that setting him up? I just got out of your way and just let you take a flamethrower to all the dear friends who have helped us along the way.
I didn't take any flamethrowers to anyone. And I think if they were truly a part of the show and they know the show, then they all know that it's just part of the show.
There's a good spin zone there.
You know?
Yeah, just a bit.
I would assume that
that was my defense yesterday too, just the gimmick.
I would assume that Ben Lee knows it's all part of the show.
I don't think so.
I would assume that there's no need for Ben to take it personal.
Okay. With all due respect, Cody thinks you sucked.
It's all part of the show. I never said that. I just stated that he used to say he could do what I did, and I think it became
that's where
clear
it comes
that he
from.
Couldn't. That's all
that's
I was saying.
That's where it comes from. It's your beef there.
That's all I was saying.
It makes a little more sense when I think of it through that lens.
That's all I was saying.
All right, we'll find a story of the day. I'm sorry to Ben and Jules if they had to hear Cody do that. I both miss you. I miss you both.
I didn't really
say
anything negative about Jules.
Stick with us. This Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks, if you haven't been to the dentist.
I guess Chris Johnson has found himself in a Joe Exotic situation, right? Chris Johnson, the news today. I don't know if it's the biggest news of the day, but Chris Johnson facing some accusations that he hired 2 hitmen.
Sometimes you just got to shoot a guy, you know?
Well, or pay someone to shoot a guy, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you get in a situation and you need somebody murdered and you don't want to do it yourself, then you just kind of, you know, you gotta give up some money to someone and let them do it.
TMZ, the first to report it, but former NFL running back, former New York Jet and Arizona Cardinal, Chris Johnson is accused of paying a suspected gang member for allegedly killing 2 men who shot him and killed his friend in 2015. So I guess I had that wrong. I said he paid 2 men, but he paid 1 man to kill 2 men. He has not been charged of a crime yet, but prosecutors believe he paid a noted Florida gang member to kill the suspected gunmen. Johnson was shot in the shoulder in a drive-by in 2015. His boy that was driving him died after being shot in the head.
Isn't it wild that stuff's still going on?
Gangs?
Yeah.
Not really.
I mean, to me, it's just...
You think gangs are supposed to be over just because it's 2020?
Yeah, it's 2020. I feel like gangs are kind of a thing of the past, but they're not. They're still active. What is your power ranking of gangs?
I'm not doing that. I don't want... With the way people are listening every time we talk about them, like, I'm just not going to bother with that because I don't want any Bloods or any Crips coming up to me.
How many legit gang members do you think we have in the audience?
Legit gang members?
Like,
I don't know.
Like guys that are members of gangs that listen to the show.
I don't know.
Or girls, for that matter. Guys or girls. There's a girl gang.
12?
Too. You think so?
Yeah,
you think
12.
There's that many gang members?
Maybe 15.
I bet they like me more than they like you.
I bet they don't, actually.
I bet the gang members side with me on most things.
I bet they don't.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's true?
Yeah, like if you polled 12 gang members that listen to the show,
no.
I think they'd prefer
That's
me.
That's 100% incorrect.
All the businessmen and normal people prefer you. All the guys like flying first class on airplanes.
The
majority prefer you. That's I'll give you the majority. I know you'll be upset. But
I don't
the gang
need the majority.
Members, I think
the gang members don't like you.
I think they would like
no.
me.
No, you think they listen
me.
To the Rolling Stones, bro?
Well, now see, now we're thinking now we're thinking of different gang members. You're labeling all gang members as one certain type of gang member.
No, whoa, 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 no, I'm not.
There's gang members of all different kinds.
No, I'm not. I'm just asking if you think.
Yeah,
I'm asking if you think gangs are rolling around listening to Rolling Stones.
Some of them, yeah, some of them probably.
You think so? You think they watch Ted?
How do you? What
you think they watch Ted?
Well, what kind of gang members are
Rolling
you?
Stone, I haven't heard many Rolling Stone songs
what,
about
what
doing
are your
stuff
gang members listening to?
Things about your friends. Maybe Joe Cocker.
With a little help from my friends?
Yeah, maybe.
Now, what gang members are you talking about?
People that get by with help
I
from their friends.
I think you're trying to label a certain
Whoa.
You're saying that they listen to a certain kind of music. I think gang members listen to all different kinds of music.
So quick to throw out those bars.
You started it.
I'm saying, what songs do the Rolling Stones have about doing hood rat stuff with your friends?
I don't know, but I'm saying gang members listen to all different kinds of music.
I don't
There's
think
probably
so.
Gang members that like Florida Georgia Line for
I
that
don't
matter.
Think that's accurate.
I think there probably are.
I think.
I mean, they may not be the best gang members, but
they probably. I think people in gangs listen to stuff about doing stuff with your friends.
There's not a single group of gang members listening to Joe Cocker with a little help from my friends.
Why not?
Because Joe Cocker's lame.
What do you think they're doing when the... When they're getting ready to go do gang activities.
You don't think
activities.
There's any gangs that listen to Gimme Shelter? That's a fire you up kind of song.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. For some. Not for everyone, but for some. Yeah. That's a going into battle song.
Okay.
They play it before every national championship.
I would just like to think the gang members like me more than you.
Depends on the gang member. I would say the Italian gang members prefer me.
Are they gangs or are they in the mafia?
Well, that's a, I mean.
Would you consider the mafia a gang?
Yeah.
They call themselves families.
Family. I mean, it's all.
I mean, we're talking about clubhouses now, like people in clubs? Because I got the FFA on deck.
Well, that's a whole
The FFA gang, they're riding in my corner. The Future Farmers of America.
I got the NBA.
Who are they?
The Morbidly Obese Americans. That would be the MOA, actually.
You think they like you? I feel like the morbidly obese people probably hate all the other obese people. Just judging from...
I am pretty rude to the obese community.
Yeah, judging from the things you say, I would say they probably side more with me as well.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not likable.
You're likable until... Everyone likes you until you got the gun pointed at them. And at some point, you will turn on everyone.
That's not true.
That is accurate, and you're smiling because you know it's true.
When have I ever?
You have no allies because you just eventually take out everybody.
I don't think that's.
I feel like that's pretty accurate.
You're saying I'm a snake in the grass.
I'm not even saying that. I think you're an equal opportunist. I think you're an equal opportunist. I'm not saying you're a snake in the grass.
You're saying I have little loyalty. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not even saying anything about loyalty.
That's why you call me Littlefinger.
Well.
Little loyalty.
I think you're. I think you're flexible.
Yet I show up here every day by your side, and you say I have little loyalty. Well, not every day, but you know, 98% of days.
You're here 98% of the time.
98% of days. I'm
excluding
here
weekends, obviously.
Well, of course, but who's here on weekends?
Football season. I am.
I did a couple of those.
You did some pregame stuff and some fun.
That pregame
reaction.
Show was awful. That was so hard to do. Not the show was. Well, the show might have been awful. I don't know. But it was just a big pain trying to do that show. Just trying to get everything set up, especially for those big games like Florida and Alabama. Like, we just didn't have the capability. There was just so many people in one area.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's tough.
So I let Rick do it this year. Of course, they got it a lot easier. They didn't have to go through the battle like me and Brandon did.
Sure.
They got to do half of them from the studio. So, anyway, where
about Chris Johnson, former New York Jet and Arizona Cardinal.
I thought he played for one more team. I can't.
He's former
can't
New York
put my
Jet,
finger on it.
Former New York Jet and former Arizona Cardinal. While the Jets and Cardinals have players out here allegedly hiring hitmen, nice to know my Titans are in the news for former Titan. Dr. Myron Roll out here trying to save the world with the coronavirus treatment.
Myron Roll's the doctor?
Yeah. You don't remember that story when he was at Florida State, like the Oxford thing? He went to Oxford. He's like an Oxford student.
The Oxford University in England?
Yeah.
Really? That's like their Harvard.
Yeah.
Or maybe even better than Harvard.
No, he was an Oxford recipient. He got drafted by the Titans and I think went through a preseason, but then he ultimately became a doctor instead.
What do you think it would be like to go to a school like that?
Former Titan out here trying to save the world, just for the record.
Yeah.
What do I think it'd be like to go to a school like that? Hard?
Like Harvard or Oxford or something? Because, you know, they let Tough. Some unique people in.
Yeah.
Like, you don't always have to be just super smart. Like, what if they let you in for, like, your personality?
Yeah. Like, hey, you bring something new to the table here. Yeah. I'd like to see how you survive and thrive in this environment.
But what
there's
would
more,
that?
There's more potential here, and you excel in other areas.
Do you think you could excel there?
No, I'm not smart enough at the stuff you have to be smart at. I mean, I'm not smart enough at anything probably to go to that type of school.
Do you have to be like?
I mean, I like to think I'm a. I like to think my. You know, I didn't feel like I was very good at it when I was younger, but I feel like I've gotten a lot better at like critical thinking. I think I can critically think pretty okay.
Yeah.
See different sides.
They always say math helps with that.
Think things through. I think I'm pretty good at that. But no, I couldn't do any of the science, any of the math.
My pre-cal teacher used to always tell us when we asked him, why do we have to do this? Because we'll never have to use it. You know, the age-old question.
It basically, like, is like a teach you how to think.
He said, yeah. He said, it's not about the math. It's about teaching you how to think.
There might be something to that.
Probably.
Following steps and...
Yeah. Clearly didn't work, as me and my buddy Mo from back home were playing Angry Birds in the back of the room.
Yeah. You should have been paying attention.
We left our phones on loud. So, like, while he was teaching the pre-cal lesson,
that's rude.
You would just hear, caw, caw.
That's and rude.
We'd be shooting the birds.
I had teachers that were like, if you're going to be disruptive, if you're not going to pay attention, at least don't be disruptive. That's what they said. Yeah. So, you were just not paying attention and being disruptive. You can't do that.
He's like, 17 goes into 344, and you carry this number, and then, caw, caw. Yeah. You know, when you did a good one, the birds would kind of cheer. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so.
No, actually, I only played Angry Bird a couple times, probably.
Wow, you missed out. You remember Temple Run?
I was good at Temple Run.
I love Temple Run.
Temple Run, I would have put my Temple Run skills up against almost anybody's. I was really good at that.
Yeah.
I was really good at Temple Run. I don't like to overstate my skills and things too often, but Temple Run, I was really good at Temple Run.
That was
Run.
Your thing, huh?
Yeah.
It was fun.
It was.
I like doing that.
It was.
Can you still get that? Can you?
I'm sure you can.
I imagine they still have it. I'm going to go download it. That'll give me something to do.
I'd rather you not during the show.
Give me something to do during the show.
Yeah, I'd rather you not. Wait till 3.
I'll wait till the commercial.
By the time it gets downloaded and you get signed up, it'll be just in time to come back.
I'll just play during breaks.
Okay. So Chris Johnson, huh?
Yeah, hiring hitman, huh?
It's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. If you're a gang member listening to the show, please either text or DM if you need anonymity. If you need anonymity, DM us.
And also, try to do things for the greater good.
Some gangs
a lot,
do.
That's usually what a lot do, yeah. Like yeah. They're actually like community stuff. Yeah.
I know.
A lot of them aren't as violent now.
I know. They get kind of a bad rap for being, you know, I guess, anti-law. But
yeah.
But
they're
a lot
helping
them,
their own people, usually.
A lot of them do good things.
Did you see that thing from the Brazilian gang member during the Brazilian gang during the first outbreak of Corona? They basically put out a memo. It was like, if the government's not going to keep you indoors, we are going to shoot anybody who we see out in the streets.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes they have to.
It was basically
to...
like, if the government won't do it, organized crime will. I don't know if that ended up being debunked as fake or not, but it went around, and it fooled me if it was. They're like, hey, well, we're going to take care of the community.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be an interesting life?
Being a gang?
Yeah. I don't think I could do it.
You don't have the heart.
I'd always be worried. I wouldn't have the loyalty. I'd get whacked. I would do something wrong, and they would whack me in the street. Seems like an interesting life, though.
Okay.
Shout out to all our gang members
in
the audience.
Yeah, shout out to them. Yeah, like I said, DM us, email us. Tweet us. Let us know which one you prefer out of me and Cody. We're running a survey here.
We're inclusive to all.
Sure.
By the way, all gangs and people for that matter. You know, just because you're in a gang doesn't mean we don't like you. I just want you guys to know that.
Who knows what led to that?
Yeah.
Maybe you need a big brother to have your back.
Yeah. I don't think they need us to have their back. I don't know.
Well, not us, but I'm saying the gang. That's usually what people get in the gang. They need friends and they need somebody to kind of.
I just like that we can be an all-inclusive show to everyone.
Do fraternities count as gangs?
Those are gangs for rich people.
Yeah.
I don't think those are gangs.
Okay.
Those are more like clubs.
I would think that the fraternity and sorority people, I mean, the fraternity people, I don't know about the sorority people. I'd imagine the fraternity people like me more than you just because you make fun of them sometimes.
I don't make fun of frat guys. I've met a lot of frat guys that I really like.
Okay.
It depends on the frat guy.
Yeah.
Those big business guys with the khakis, they all probably prefer you.
Yeah.
But the ones that like to party probably prefer me.
Okay.
but sometimes those are the same guy.
Sometimes.
And not all frat guys are that guy either. I know a lot of frat guys that are just regular guys.
Sure.
They're just like us.
It's like you're walking back some hate.
I said some things in the past that I was labeling.
It was nice of you to own up to it.
Yeah, I did say some things that were not.
Curry favor to steal them from my fan base. Okay, I see what you're doing here.
I met a lot of very nice frat guys.
Let's go to break. We got a Texas A&M chancellor making some statements about the SEC football schedule. We'll dive into that next.
American Environmental is an industrial clean.
All right, we got some comments coming from Texas A&M Chancellor John Sharp as he talks about a potential deadline for playing this season. The Pac-12, they had an AD come out and say, we need to have a decision by the end of May. Texas A&M Chancellor John Sharp said, with some conversations with SEC officials and the NCAA, I think they've come to the conclusion that you could probably start football as late as October and still have a 13-game schedule. We don't know when this thing is going to end. We don't know when it's going to happen. For all we know, we may have football where we have coaches and players and referees on the field with a TV camera and nobody in the stadium. We don't know, but we are trying to figure all that out. But none of that can be figured out until when we know the world goes back to work. I guess the takeaway here, Cody, is that they would be okay with starting the season, because we haven't seen that yet, right? That they'd be okay starting the season late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we've thought that maybe the spring, like if they can't get the fall, they'll do the spring, but they're saying we'll start the season late in the fall, October, and then we'll still be able to do all 13 games. Did you see Laura Rutledge's update yesterday?
I heard something about it, but I forgot.
ESPN reporter Laura Rutledge apparently came out on GetUp and said that she believes many colleges are hoping to get the athletes back on campus in mid-July. The most important piece is there's optimism around it. It's definitely complicated, but there's optimism because they have time, and really the timeline that we're looking at here is towards the end of May, early June. All these conferences that have shut down operations right now are going to reconvene, and they're going to assess the situation around the country just like we're all doing. They're going to see how things look at that point. We're really talking about early June. That buys them a lot of time up until that point. And they say they're targeting mid-July for a hopeful return and some semblance of athletic activity. If you get back by mid-July, do you think that still gives you time to get to start, you know, end of August, a 6-week training camp? Is that enough to really be, I don't want to say starting from scratch, but to really be starting behind the eight ball, right? Of, you know, you didn't get a spring. Can you get a team ready in 6 weeks, or is that going to maybe say, hey, you got to wait an extra month? Start at the beginning of October.
I think it would be okay if we started a little bit late. I don't think that would be too bad. I'm just wondering if we'll need to. I mean, at that point, once we get into the fall, I'm just wondering what the difference is going to be in September and October.
Sure. I think an extra month is actually a lot in terms of healing.
At that point, I think I'd be more concerned about the second wave.
In October?
Yeah, and whether or not that's going to be significant if we gather 100,000 people in a stadium.
I was saying it from the opposite of you give people an extra month to feel like this has gone away and you've worked on treatment and all that stuff, and people might be willing to get in the stands in October where they might not be ready to do that at the end of August.
I think people are going to be willing to get in the stands regardless.
Okay.
College football fans who have been starved of sports for so long, by the time we get to September, I don't think there'd be too much of a difference as long as we're on the decline. And again, nobody really knows what'll happen with that second wave, but as like for what we're at now, the first big hit, we're starting to level out a bit.
Sure. So you think people would sign up to come to the stadium and at the end of August?
I do, yeah. Football fans? Yeah.
Florida For the Florida game, I would say yes, but for Charlotte, don't.
Oh no, probably not for a game like that.
Well, I mean, that's the home opener, yeah, September 5th. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, perception wise, if around the country you had half empty stadiums.
Well, attendance is going down anyway. So
attendance is going down, right? But
you
I mean,
see it down quite a bit more.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I don't know if it's the first time crowds are getting back together, and you're a little cautious about it, and you're either older or you have underlying conditions. Are you risking it for Tennessee Charlotte?
No. I would agree with you on that. But I also don't think there's any way that it's not packed for the Florida game.
Right. Tennessee Furman, I would say the same thing. Probably not getting good attendance there either, unless you just have a huge George Quarles fan base, like maybe everyone from Maryville.
Yeah.
Packs the stadium out.
They'll just have their own little section.
But you're probably right that if Tennessee plays Florida,
I think we're full capacity.
You'll have people throw caution to the wind.
I think we're 102-455 against Florida.
Depends on how you look against Oklahoma.
I still think it's full against Florida, even if there's...
Well, I'm just saying from a team standpoint at that point. Like, if you haven't looked good and JG's still your starter and he's not... He's doing the same maddening things. You didn't sell out the Florida game 2 years ago is all I'm saying. Like,
the thing I've been saying for the people that want Harrison Bailey as a starter, you kind of got to hope he's no good against Oklahoma. My thought process is if you want Harrison Bailey as your quarterback against Florida, then you need Garantano to look really bad against Oklahoma. Because I don't think there's any other way that Harrison Bailey's coming in over him. You know what I mean?
Sure. Without injury.
Yeah. So you pretty much need to throw that Oklahoma game aside if you want the freshman in against Florida. Unless
I don't think there's anybody that's going to do that, though, is there?
No. Well,
I mean, I know there's some outliers.
If you could take one.
There's like some outliers who, you know, just hate Jarrett Garantano that much, but I think everyone's going to hope that he plays well against Oklahoma, or they should.
Yeah, of course.
Because you can beat Oklahoma, and that would be a national spotlight game. So, I mean, I hope there's no one saying, I hope he struggles against Oklahoma so we can get him for SEC play.
But also, of course, if you could somehow guarantee people that you get one or the other and you get Florida, then they'll take
that. Oh, to win.
Yeah, they'll take that. Of course, you can't guarantee that. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know. But otherwise, I mean, I don't. Like, Garantano would have to come out and look awful against Charlotte for him to not be the starter against Oklahoma, is what I'm guessing. Wouldn't you think? I mean, wouldn't you probably agree? Especially with Harrison Bailey not getting to show off, like, in spring ball and stuff. I mean.
No, like I've said, I believe that you are looking at Jarrett Garantano being your starting quarterback for those reasons. Your first big game is a road game. Can you really throw a true freshman in there in that situation?
In Norman?
I'm going to guess you can't. Now, maybe if there's no fans. But if there's no fans, maybe you go with Harrison Bailey a lot sooner because he can hear and make the calls, and it feels more like a scrimmage and, like, hey, it's more of a practice than a game, and you don't have to worry about your true freshman going on the road to Norman and being overwhelmed. So, like, I mean, if there's no fans, maybe you just run Harrison Bailey out there from the get-go.
Well, and the flip side also, if you put him – if he played against Oklahoma, then that would be nice to have him tested by the time he plays Florida.
Unless he just fails the test miserably.
Well, yeah, and then you...
That's what you have to worry about these young quarterbacks, though. Like, I mean, in today's day and age, can Jeremy Pruitt allow... Can they allow the time for a freshman quarterback to go through the bumps? Right, I mean, like, if Harrison Bailey gets off to a bad start, if he is starting from day one, do you allow him to grow? Does Jeremy Pruitt have that type of job security to have a struggling freshman quarterback that's really talented? And I don't think the fans would be willing to say, you know what, let's let this guy grow because the ceiling's much higher in 2021 with him getting a full year under his belt because we're so desperate for wins.
Well, that wouldn't be ideal, but when you look at the alternative – it's having Garantano in there, and then you might not figure out till game 4 or 5, like, we're just going to have to roll with the freshman. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, he's going to be taking his lumps in the middle of the season.
Well, I mean, what we saw from Jerry Pruitt last year is that he is going to be willing to do that. Like, I mean, he was not a traditional coach in the sense of you got to treat the quarterback a certain way for his confidence because, you know, for a while, Garantano was thriving as a guy coming off the bench, right? Like, he was putting in quarterbacks for just a series to change things up and hopefully spark the team. So I actually have a lot of confidence in him. When I say him, I mean Jeremy Pruitt, in him handling this the right way.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, if you're going to – if we're operating under the assumption that Harrison Bailey's going to play at some point anyway, I feel like you'd rather him take his lumps in the first 3 weeks of the season and maybe struggle against Oklahoma than you would to bring him in the middle of SEC play and put him in that situation. Because at the end of the day, your conference games matter more.
What about the what are your thoughts on the – if there are no fans in the stands, like, I feel like that would give Harrison Bailey a better chance, right? Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. And there's just certain physical things and learning the game. Like, is he ready?
Sure. And, you know, it sucks for him. I really, truly feel like it sucks for him to not be able to have the benefit of a spring practice. And teams across the country are going to have to deal with that. Teams in the NFL are going to have to deal with that. Like, if you're bringing in new pieces, you're not going to have the same time to get them up to speed physically.
It's part of or being, mentally. It's part of being an early enrollee and where that gives you an advantage, right, typically. But now it'll just be like he's a regular guy coming in the summer, you know. So,
man, that would really suck to be an early enrollee. Like, you're 18.
Put
you're
in
like,
all that work.
Yeah, you're like, we're going to skip.
Missed prom and all that.
Which, I mean, the prom's canceled anyways.
Yeah, it would be.
So it's not like he missed that from that respect, but to get to campus, I'm saying, and like you're like, okay, finally college, going to be playing ball, going to be living life, and then you're like back at home taking online classes, whereas your friends in high school, you know what they're doing? Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, the school's just canceled for them, right? Like, our high school's moved online, or maybe the high schools are moved online. But
I know my brother does middle school online right now.
Okay.
So I'm assuming high school's online.
I don't
your
know
brother what. Live in a good county in Georgia? Because I feel like most counties in Tennessee – like, I don't even know, like, in Knox County, like, I feel like they're not even allowed to do that because most kids, or not all kids, have access to
computers. That's what I asked
him.
I asked him, I was like, hey, like, what happens if, like, a kid doesn't have access to, like, the internet? And he's like, oh, they give them a packet. So I don't know if that's the way it's going all around the country doing it.
A packet, and they have to mail it back. Like,
something, I guess. Yeah, I guess they got to do some paper version, but yeah. So they're you know, trying to kind of accommodate everybody, I guess.
Just
I
a bunch
know.
Of worksheets.
Yeah.
Congrats
just busy
on
work.
These poor kids.
Congrats on being an early enrollee. Here's online classes. Good luck.
Like, you just, that would suck so bad. Just get a big packet of worksheets you got to do.
Yeah, that would be tough.
You remember worksheets?
Yep.
I'd claim mine didn't come in the mail. Yeah. I'd be like, I'm sorry, I didn't get anything.
Mailman must have lost it.
Yeah.
Just play on the clip of President Trump taking down the mail carriers about how they're a terrible organization.
Then the mailman might show up to your door and be mad at you, though.
Yeah,
like that Curb episode. You know?
You said, I lost your mail? No, it's just a lie.
I was just saying that because I didn't want, you know, there was this thing, I wasn't going to go to it.
You make enemies with your mailman, but surely your young brother would be able to survive that beef. But it would suck to be an early enrollee. Like I said, you're ready to kickstart life, and you actually have responsibilities now back at home while your friends are either taking very easy classes in high school or just not taking school at all. That would be awful. But if you're looking, like I'm sure Harrison Bailey is looking, like a talented guy like that, is looking for the best opportunity to get playing time, right? And that's probably the biggest loss here, is that you don't get a spring practice. You just have to go and run some routes with your high school receivers, which I guess he went to a pretty talented high school, so maybe if those guys are still around, you can still get some work in.
Yeah, if he knows everybody from down there, he's got plenty of people.
Yeah, and their high school was good. Their high school had good players, so I mean, like, maybe – maybe that's okay. Maybe that, you know, he has access to talented players that are playing at a D1 level.
Yeah, it's good. Like, if it's only like the 6 weeks, like you said, the guy was talking about, I think it does really hurt, like, the young guys like that and the teams that have the new coaching staffs.
Yeah.
And especially like first time head coaches. That, this is probably really tough on them.
That's a point I haven't really thought of, Cam, is like, you know, in both situations in the NFL and in college football, like a first year coach trying to implement a program, like, you are going to be, I mean, you can be struggling. I mean, obviously, like, you have guys like Mike Leach who are making it even harder on themselves by running off some players with tweets. But, I mean, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, Mike Leach at Mississippi State, like, those guys are already fighting an uphill battle. Tennessee plays Sam Pittman in Arkansas. Like, that's a first-time head coach. Like, he has never done this before, so. Nope. he's going to have to figure this out in 6 weeks with a brand new quarterback as he takes over Felipe Franks, but at least he's got a veteran quarterback, I guess, in that sense, whereas Mississippi State also has KJ Costello. But yeah, those guys
learn a new system.
So. Gotta learn a completely new system and in 6 weeks of actual practice time.
And implementing your game plan and your system and things like that. It's just the culture too. And we don't know exactly if it's just gonna snap back to, you know, how things were, you know, in the program. There may still be some restrictions on stuff. So if you're trying to establish your culture, your system, figure out what you're doing as a head coach, it's kind of a whirlwind, and I think it's going to make some of those teams very susceptible to upsets and stuff very early on in the season, just because they're trying to figure it out as they go almost.
Oh no! Well, when you put it that way, like, we didn't really come out the gate hot last year.
Yeah, I think we're better suited than some teams this year, though, just off the fact that we have a coach who's been here a few years. We can do, Garantano, and you have a good starting – or not a veteran quarterback.
He's
been used to playing.
That's the same thing we had last year, too, though, with him coming in. And, again, Tennessee didn't get off to a hot start, to say the least, last year, so.
And maybe get lucky, and Spencer Rattler can't really get anything done in 7 weeks. So.
Well, that's what we are hoping, right? I mean, although he has been – he was there last year, right? Like, he was a redshirt
guy.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's been there, and he's in the same system. But
it's still different when you hit the field.
It's still different when you hit the field as the alpha, too. Like, I mean, as the leader, that's a different scenario. And he played a couple games last year in mop-up duty. But this was the first time it will be his team. Spencer Rattler, of course, is the talented five-star, I guess, going to be a redshirt freshman. Mm-hmm. Talented redshirt freshman for Oklahoma. He is going to be trying to figure this out as a first-time starting quarterback. So, you know, Tennessee might have an advantage there if you get a good version of Garantano.
Can you imagine if Harrison Bailey's actually really good?
It'd be awesome.
Like, what it'll be like to have an actual really good quarterback.
It will be awesome.
Cam, isn't it that I think in Georgia high school football – there's only three guys ahead of him all time in, like, career passing, and it was, like, Trevor Lawrence, Jake Fromm, and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I think it's, like, Watson, Fields, somebody else. Because, yeah, he's definitely way up there, because I was surprised when I was looking at the numbers.
Yeah, maybe not Jake Fromm. Maybe it was Fields. I can't remember. But, yeah, it was, like he's right up there, like, elite all time. Which, again, that's high school ball, but those are pretty good high schools.
I mean, yeah, like, the level he's playing on is consistently pumping out two or three D1 players per team.
Yeah, and to be in that elite level, like with those names, I mean, I think it gets people are really excited about him.
He is fifth all time now on the Georgia passing.
But he's up there with some names.
So the people ahead of him are Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, Jake Fromm, and Kahari Lane, who I'm not sure who that is.
He comes from a talented state and he's put up numbers in a talented place. Like, you know, you've seen people draw the comparisons or make the comparisons of, you know, what JG did versus New Jersey competition. Like that, that's a whole different ball game than being in Georgia doing things. So,
Georgia's probably the third. I think it surpassed either.
It's right behind California and Texas, right? Or I guess.
I think it surpassed one in terms. It might have been California it surpassed in terms of just like the number of high level prospects.
So it's probably behind Florida and Texas?
I think so.
Okay.
I think it might have passed
definitely
California.
Probably the top four states for sure.
Yeah.
And the level he's playing at too is, it's not like he was playing like they do. I think he's in 7-5A is what it is down there still. And that's the highest level, and that's when you get all the big-time D1 guys. You're not just playing against the 1-2-star schools.
Yeah.
He's putting up real numbers against some good competition.
I hope he's really good.
That would be the best thing for Tennessee's program.
That would be really nice.
And maybe there are people that would say, you know what, would you sacrifice this year to set up next year?
For two really good years from him?
Yeah.
And maybe a run at the playoff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been patient long enough.
When I say sacrifice this year, I mean 6-6. Like, you 6-6 or 7-5. Like, I mean, you aren't beating anybody. And some of the games, he's going to make freshman mistakes. And you're going to see some talented flashes from him. But do you deal with that for a full year? Or do you have to, as a coach, like Jeremy Pruitt, who, again, doesn't necessarily have the cachet to punt years? Because you said he was going to get fired if he goes, you know, you said that tongue-in-cheek. But it was like, fire him if he goes 7-5. That was a little, you know, that was hyperbolic, but there are going to be people who aren't still sold on Jeremy Pruitt. So if he has a 7-5 year, like, he is going to really, really be on the hot seat.
Yeah, and the thing with reality is you don't get those hypotheticals. Like I think everybody would sign up for 6-6 this year if it meant we're going to be making a run for the SEC and for the playoff next year.
Like, if the reps actually equaled success.
Right, but that's the thing. You don't know. You just don't know. If you get that, so you got a plan for now.
I mean, LSU kind of did it with Burrow to an extent. Let him take some lumps as a first-time starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Early on in that season, he won some close games, like against Auburn.
I hope LSU fans have enjoyed this offseason, because they are going to take a big step back.
They just landed a big-time recruit, a big-time safety, so maybe. Yeah.
They'll still be good, but I just mean, like.
It's not going to be as fun as it was. Like,
they were 15-0.
Yeah, it's all downhill from here.
It's hard not to take a step back.
Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.